Often, I wish God would just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do, Lord, and I'll do it. Come to the crossroads in life, and you have these choices to make. And the first thing I do is I say, okay, are these roads, any of these roads, contrary to God's word? Okay, let's take those off the table. Those are not even in question. I'm talking about the good, positive choices that we have to make. I'm not very good at nuance. Those of you who know me know that. I am like a bull in a china shop. And sometimes I wish God would take a 2x4 and smack me upside the head so he gets my attention and tells me which way to go. What do I do here? Where do I go? But I'm sure I'm the only one who feels like that, right? We have some seniors who are trying to decide if they're going to go to college. Should I go to college, Lord? If I go to college, which college should I go to? Show me, Lord. Just tell me. I'll go. And tell me, for your sake, what do you want me to be? What do you want me to major in? Because I have no clue. I don't have a direction. I need you, Lord, to guide me. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Should I marry this guy? Is this the guy that you want me to marry? Just tell me, Lord, and I'll either break up with him or I'll get married to him. Is this the one you have picked out for me? My finances are so tight right now. Maybe I should ask him just to move in with me. I mean, that makes financial sense for him to move in with me. Is that what you want me to do, Lord? Is that the wise decision? Is that your direction? Should we put a mother in the nursing home? Or should we try to care for her ourselves? Should we adopt this child? Should I take that job transfer that's going to move me out of the city or out of the state, away from my family, away from my friends, away from my church? You ever face questions like that? Do I retire now, or do I put in another 5 years? Fortunately for us, God wants us to know his will. He wants us to know. He wants us to seek and find it. He wants us to follow it. Since God wants us to know his will, then he reveals his will to us. And we're going to be looking at a little segment of the life of Paul today in Acts 16. If you want to turn there. I read a verse in the beginning, John 16:13, that says this: "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." And the Spirit has come, right? If you're a follower of Jesus who's been reborn, then you have the Holy Spirit indwelling inside you. And he is there to reveal God's truth, all of God's truth. He won't speak anything except for what he hears from God. And he'll tell us what is to come. So Jesus promises the Spirit of truth. He doesn't promise a detailed master step-by-step plan. And that's what I would really like to have sometimes, right? Or just show me my final destination, Lord, so I know how to get there. Man, that would be nice. I pray for that a lot. It never happens, though. You know, God desires us to be faithful in the moment, and the Spirit seems to lead only step by step. He'll let us know what's in the future, what the next step should be. Not necessarily a master plan of step, which we want, because we want that. We want to know. We want to control. We don't want to live moment by moment by moment. So at the crossroads, how do you know which path to choose? How does the Holy Spirit guide us? I'm going to just list these really quickly. There's probably more than this. And these vary in degrees as far as the frequency today. But direct revelation. In the past, God spoke directly to prophets And the prophets then spoke to the people, this is the word of God. I would say that this probably doesn't happen anymore. That an audible voice of God speaking to a prophet. I believe God speaks to us, but I don't think he speaks to us the way he did the prophets. Miraculous events. Again, not as frequent as in the New Testament and the Old Testament days, but I do believe miracles happen. But God revealed his will to people through miracles, through visions and dreams. I don't know if you've had a vision from God or a dream that you thought was from God. I can't say that I have. And I think these don't occur as frequently as they used to. Not saying they don't. I believe God can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. I believe through prayer, the Spirit guides us. Through inner guidance, through promptings, through nudges in our heart, in our conscience, inner guidance, through our circumstances. Open doors and closed doors. The Spirit leads by opening some doors and closing some doors. And sometimes this is a trial and error thing to figure out which door the Spirit's opening and which door the Spirit is closing. Godly wisdom. The Spirit gives us wisdom. And we can know what the wise thing to do is. Even if it's a choice of, this is a good choice. This is not a choice of right and wrong. It's a choice of what is the wise thing for me to do. In light of my present circumstances, in light of my past, where I've been and what have I experienced, and in light of my future plans, what is the wise thing to do? Looking back at my past, am I gathering wisdom from the mistakes I've made or mistakes I've seen other people make? That is a form of wisdom that we need to apply. In my present circumstances, you know, this is the crossroads, which is the wise thing for me to do. And in light of what I want for my future, what is the wise thing to do? God gives us wisdom. Proverbs says, 5-7, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Wisdom, godly wisdom, comes from the Spirit. We don't trust our instincts, we trust the Spirit. And sometimes that's hard to know the difference. I believe the Spirit guides through a community of believers. Many times I've had people speak into my life truths that the Spirit wanted me to know. And if you're not in a deep fellowship of believers, then you're missing out on a key way the Spirit guides you. And that's connected to wise and godly counsel. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel. But with many advisors, they succeed. Don't know which way to go? Find a spiritual, mature, godly person and ask them. And the Word of God. The Word of God is the main way God shows us what His will is. And it's the main way the Spirit guides us. Well, let me give you a little introduction to Paul. Paul is first, because if you've been to church, you know this. But if you've not been to church very much, you might want to know this stuff, and everybody else is kind of refresher, okay? Paul used to be Saul, all right? Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He traveled around arresting Christians and having them put in jail and even murdered. He was a Jewish person who thought Jesus was balderdash. Well, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus where he was going to arrest more Christians. And he says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he blinded him with his light. And he sent him onto the road to Damascus blindly. The guys led him along, I guess. And for 3 days, he didn't eat, he didn't drink, and he was blind. He couldn't see. And God sends a guy named Ananias to him. And he removes the scales off his eyes that he can see. And he was baptized, we assume, by Ananias. And immediately, Paul goes into town in Damascus and starts preaching about Jesus. There's some Jews there that don't like it very much, and they want to get rid of him. So they send him to Jerusalem. Same thing happens in Jerusalem. the Jews in Jerusalem come up against him, and they have to get rid of Paul again, so they ship him out to Antioch. In Antioch, he hooks up with a guy named Barnabas, and they start what's called the first missionary journey. Paul's first missionary journey, you can see, it started at Antioch, and he took Barnabas with him, and they went to Cyprus, and they went up to the other Antioch in Pisidia, and then they went to Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And along those ways, they suffered persecution, and they were kicked out of town. Their lives were threatened. But then he turned around and kind of went the opposite route. So the first time he's going through, he's starting churches. Second time he goes through, he's appointing elders. This first missionary journey took 2 years. We're really going to talk about the second missionary journey, though. He starts in Antioch again, and he kind of goes to the same places, Tarsus, Derbe, and Lystra. In the Derbe and Lystra section, he picks up a young man named Timothy to come with him. Timothy is a product of a mixed marriage, a Greek father and a Jewish mother, a Jewish Christian mother. So Paul has to make a decision about, he decides to circumcise Timothy. Now, Timothy was probably 12 or 13 years old, probably not the most exciting thing he had in mind for himself. But he submits, and he's circumcised. And that, the reason is because the Jews in the synagogues would not accept Timothy if he had not been circumcised. So it would limit his ministry. All right, they go on to Antioch. And then they want to go to Asia. That's Paul's plan. But God stops them and will not let them go into Asia. We'll get to more about that in a minute. Then they said, well, let's go to Bithynia. We'll go around Asia, go to Bithynia. But God stops them again. The Spirit of Jesus stops them. So they say, okay, well, let's go west. Let's go to Troas. And while Paul is in Troas, he gets a vision from God. And it's a man from north of there, Macedonia, a man saying, come and help us. So Paul and his companions leave immediately, and they cross the sea. They go to Neapolis. They go to Philippi. In Philippi, Paul can't find any, there's no synagogue, right? There's no Jewish men. All he finds is some Jewish women down at the river praying. And so he starts talking to them. And there, behold, there is a lady named Lydia. Lydia becomes a Christian. They come home to her house. They stay with her. Her whole household is baptized. He planted a church through women there. And then if he'd gone to Asia, he would have never been able to go into Europe. This is Europe now we're looking at. So then he goes to these other towns, and he suffers some persecution in some of these. He goes to Athens, Corinth, and then he goes to Ephesus. And then he goes home back to Jerusalem. Okay, you don't need to remember all that. I just want to give you a context of Paul's journey. So how did the Spirit guide Paul? First of all, the Spirit guided Paul through prayer. Now, the first time, the first missionary journey in Antioch, before they were sent off, here's what's going on. While the church was worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them, sent them off. The two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. So the first way I think the Holy Spirit guides Paul is through prayer. They're fasting. They're worshiping. And connected to that, notice where this happens. It is within the community of believers. So he has other people confirming what the Spirit is saying. They lay hands on him, they pray for him, and they send him off. The Spirit works through the community of believers. The Spirit guides through godly wisdom. Acts is where they pick up Timothy and decide whether or not to circumcise him. I don't think there's a right or wrong. I think this is a crossroad that is not right or wrong. In fact, some people might say it was wrong of Paul to do that because Paul is pretty heavy-handed on not circumcising the Gentiles, not making them have to be Jews. But here he says, no, we're going to do it to this half-breed. And so he has a choice to make. And I think it is through his godly wisdom, looking at his past, looking at the current circumstances of Timothy and his parentage, and looking at the future plans. Paul wants to go to these other towns, into the synagogues, looking in the past, present, and future. What is the wise thing for me to do? I'm sure this is what Paul said to himself. And he decided the wise thing for me to do is to circumcise this teenage boy. Paul goes on to talk about godly wisdom in Colossians, one of his later letters. We have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. That's guidance. How? Through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. The Spirit gives godly wisdom. The Spirit gives understanding so that we can know the will of God. That's how the Spirit guides us. So also the Spirit guides in our circumstances by opening and closing doors. So we get to the big blocks, right? How the Spirit blocks. So in verse 16:6, it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. They wanted to go into Asia, but somehow the Spirit of God stopped them and wouldn't let them cross the border. Then it happened again a few verses later when, you know, I said, well, we'll just go to Bithynia. Well, guess what happened? The Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go into Bithynia. How did the Spirit do this? Was it godly wisdom? Was it a vision? Was it direct revelation? Was there some miracle? Was it through prayer? Was it through inner promptings? We don't know. We don't know. All we know is the Spirit guided them by saying, this is a closed door. Maybe it was because the Spirit knew there's going to be lots of persecution ahead of them. If they went into Asia, they'd be severely beaten and things like that. Here's a principle I think we need to be aware of. Hard times and troubles and trials do not necessarily mean the door is closed. We can't just say, oh, this is too hard. The Spirit's closing this door on me. Here's an easy way. That must be an open door for the Spirit. I mean, Paul, of all people, knows what's going on here. He says in 2 Corinthians, he says, I work hard. I've been in prison frequently. I've been flogged. I've been exposed to death. I've received 39 lashes three different times. I've been beaten with rods three times. I've been stoned, and that does not involve alcohol or drugs. That is big rocks being pelted at you to kill you. I have been shipwrecked three times. I've been constantly on the move. I'm always in danger. I'm always hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm cold. I'm naked. Paul knows. You know what? These things did not mean closed doors for Paul. He persevered. He kept going. So how do you know when a door is open or a door is closed? Lots of prayer, lots of godly wisdom, lots of counsel from others, staying close to God in the Spirit, and I think through trial and error. Go. The Spirit will lead you step by step. And the Spirit guides through visions. Paul received the vision during the night. A man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I don't know if God still uses visions. I think he does. I've never gotten one from God. But Paul did. But there's something else here. The Spirit guides through wise counsel. Do you see it in the verse? After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready to go. We concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. It's in the context of community with believers where they decide. Paul says, I had this vision, and his brothers come together and say, well, let's talk about this. You know what? We conclude our godly wisdom together in the community of believers through prayer. This is the way we're supposed to go. So let's do it. Paul, it was not just indigestion. They confirmed it. This is God calling us. And the Spirit guides as Paul moved in God's direction. This is important. This is kind of like the trial and error thing. It is really hard when you're in a car to turn it when it's not moving. Have you ever tried to turn the steering wheel, you know, when the car is standing still? It's like, but when the car is just rolling or going forward or reverse, it's easy. It's easy, especially with power steering, right? You just, one finger, just turn it where you want to go. And you can aim that car in the right direction. And we are the same way, and the Spirit is the same way with us. It is much easier for the Spirit to move us in the right direction when we were already on moving on mission with God. We already doing what we know to do. And we're obeying what we know to obey. God will use us more readily and more quickly and steer us in His path and His direction. Here's some things to remember. We need to know God's Word. Only by knowing the truth, the revealed truth of God, will we be able to discern what is right and wrong and what is wise and unwise. We learn the principles and the precepts. The precepts are the rights and the wrongs. Do this, don't do this, right? Obey this way, thou shalt not. Those are the precepts. That's the moral law of God. And the principles are more like overriding, principles that help guide us in making wise choices. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that I can find that says, and teenagers ask me this all the time, should I date a non-Christian? I mean, the only verse that we are familiar with that applies to this is, don't be unequally yoked to non-Christians. And I'm not sure that applies primarily to dating and marriage. It does apply. But there's no thou shalt not date a non-Christian. Right? This is basically, if you're going to apply that, don't be unequally yoked, it's basically saying don't marry a non-Christian. But should I date a non-Christian? Is there a right and wrong there? Is there a precept that God says thou shalt not date a non-Christian? I don't know. There's not. But there are some principles in God's Word. Unequally yoked is one of those principles. The question is, as you seek godly counsel on this and pray and in the community of believers and seek godly wisdom, here's what I ask back. Well, do you want to marry a Christian? Well, yeah, I want to marry a Christian. Okay. Do you believe you're going to marry somebody that you're dating? Yeah, I'll probably date them before I marry them. Yeah. Do you believe the person you're going to fall in love with is one of the people that you're going to date? Well, yeah. Ta-da. There's your answer. And it's not a thou shalt not. It's what is the wise thing for me to do in this situation. If I want to marry a Christian, my future plans... I want to marry a Christian, and if my present circumstances, I'm trying to decide, should I date this girl or not? And I can even look back at my past experience, what's happened to me when I've dated non-Christians. The answer is crystal clear. It doesn't always feel that way, I know, because we're emotionally attached to these things and doing our own way. Another thing to remember is to pray, pray, and then pray some more. We've got to keep praying. God will reveal His will to us through prayer. We need to submit daily to the Spirit's guidance. One of the things I pray about every morning before I start my day is, Lord, send Your Spirit to guide me today. Lead me to the people You want me to talk to. Lead me in the way I treat people. Go before me and guide me. And if you pray that every day and through your day, throughout your day, you're depending on the Spirit, then He will guide you. Number four, seek godly, wise counsel. Be in deep fellowship with community of believers. Again, if you're not there, you're missing out. You're missing out on so many blessings that God has for you. And you're missing out on what the Spirit has to say. You need to get moving in God's direction. And I want to quote a theologian that I think is pretty deep. And you even know this, especially kids' own kids know this. Lincoln Brewster. Well, I've been moving in a new direction. Don't you know that something's going to change? I've been infected by God's injection. Now I don't say the things I used to say because now I'm changed. I'm not the same. And now I'm moving in God's direction. I feel good about that. You know what? It makes me want to jump up, spin around, get up, and get down. I want to do it all day long. Well, you know, I've been looking for a new perspective. My eyes are open now. What can I say? And now I'm walking with a new objective ever since the day that Jesus saved me. Here's the key verse. The Spirit's moving me to be effective. He's guiding me. And not to lay around and waste away. And Lord, I'm glad that You were resurrected and not laying down there in the grave. No, no, no. It makes me want to, You can help me, jump up, spin around, get up, get down. Don't you know I do it night and day? Jump up, spin around, get up, get down. Oh, yeah. He'll never change. He's always the same. Here's the concluding statement. So, get a moving in God's direction, and you'll feel good about that. Get moving in God's direction. God can steer you when you're on mission with God. He can direct you easily to where you want to go. And this is important. We haven't mentioned this yet as far as this quote, but the Bible says we need to test the spirits. And that brings us back to the opening when I talked about the port in Inagua, Bahamas, and how the channel is deep, but the rest of the bay is very shallow. And ships have a rough time navigating that bay because if they go a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, they're going to run aground. So long time ago, they put up these three large posts, wooden posts, on land with towers. And as the ship's captain is coming into that bay, he finds those three posts. And when those three posts line up in his vision, he knows he's going in the right direction and he's going to be safe. And I think we have to test the spirits in the same way. We can't depend on a dream by itself. You can't always trust people's advice. You can't always trust the inner promptings that you feel. Like John said, he said, I went to Hope Works, we served a meal, and the Spirit was telling me, you need to do more than one and done. That's a prompting. That's something inside that the Spirit speaks to us. And what we need to do is make sure that everything we say, we hear from God, we think the Spirit's telling us, we need to make sure, we need to double check it with the other things to make sure it's lined up. And we'll be going in God's direction. I really wish God would just tell me what to do sometimes. None of this this nuance, this step-by-step, just, you know, I'm only going to give you enough light on your path for one step. And then I'll shine the light a little bit more and heavy so you know what the next step is. I wish he would just put a spotlight on my destination. Let me get there. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Just show me where to get. A few years ago, in 1995, I was in Middle Tennessee. And I got a call from a guy in Memphis saying, we want you to come and be our youth minister at our church. It's not this church. It was a different church. And my response was, no, thank you. My ministry is going great here. I love these people. Things are going well. Thank you, but no. Well, the Spirit must have been telling him something that the Spirit wasn't telling me. Because he kept calling back. He kept asking me, are you sure? He put his kids on the phone, and they sang to me. And I kept saying, I know what the Spirit's will is. I know I'm supposed to be. This is where I'm called to be. You're not going to change. This is a closed door, not an open door. Then he said this. Oh, well, have you prayed about it? I hadn't even prayed about it. I just knew what God's will was, so I didn't even pray about it. He got me. Wham! Godly wisdom. Have you prayed about it? So I started praying. I prayed and I prayed. And I prayed. And the more I prayed, the more the Spirit started doing something inside me. My gut was just twisted with what God was doing to me. I didn't like it. I didn't want to go to Memphis. All my family's in Middle Tennessee. I had influence in that church. I had trust. I built up over 5 years. Things were going well. I just bought a house. I don't want to move. He just kept. The more I prayed about it, and then through a series of circumstances, through open doors and closed doors, God began to reveal his will. It's time to go to Memphis. Some of you who are close to me, I've shared this with. I'm going to share it with all of you right now. I was pretty sure. I lined up the posts, right? To what God wanted me to do. I felt like I'm going to Memphis. But I want to know for sure. And you know what they did in the Bible when they wanted to know God's will sometimes? They tossed the dice. They cast lots. And it was an acceptable way to seek God's will. So I took a quarter out of my pocket. I said, Lord, whether this lands on heads or tails is not a coincidence. I prayed over every circumstance and thing affecting how I flipped. I prayed over the shape of my fingernail and how smooth my fingernail was. I prayed over the humidity and the density of the air. I prayed over the how fast I flipped it. I prayed over every, and I said, Lord, you're in charge of every single element of this coin toss. And whatever you say, I'm just trying to confirm, Lord, I will do what you tell me to do. So I flipped that thing, heads, go to Memphis. I said, okay, I'm gone. That was a Sunday afternoon. I had an elders meeting that night, just a regular monthly elders meeting. And I felt something again. Oh man, I don't like this. I think the Spirit wants me to go in tonight and resign. And tell him I'm going to Memphis. We haven't talked about, I haven't even told the guys in Memphis yes yet, or accepted, or even talked about salary or anything. I'm like, oh Lord, come on now. Surely you don't want me to do this. I got my quarter back out. This time I'm actually driving to the elders meeting, right? I'm holding that coin, and I'm rubbing it, and I'm praying, Lord, you're in charge of every element, everything. You already know if this is going to be heads or tails, and I'm going to trust you. I'm casting lots like they did in the Bible. Lead me, lead me, lead me. And I stopped at a stoplight, flipped it, heads, tell them tonight. Oh, man, I'm torn up. But at the same time, while I'm torn up on the inside, I'm like, yes, I know what God wants me to do. So I went into the elders meeting, and I said, I got to go. God's calling me to Memphis. Now, in that process, I had pulled aside one of my elders weeks ago before this, maybe a month before this, and I told him what was going on. I sought godly counsel. And David Schreiner walked me through it. He said, first of all, if God's calling you, you have to obey. You got to go. If he's not calling you, he will make it evident. As you pray for open doors and closed doors, as you put out what we call putting out fleeces like Gideon, show me signs, Lord, along the way. And these things, as you pray, as you seek godly counsel, these things will start to line up and you'll know the will of God. What about you? Do you have some tough choices coming up? Forget about what's right or wrong, okay? We know what's right and wrong. We know the right decision to make when it's the right thing to do. And we know not to do something that's wrong. But what about the other choices that aren't necessarily right and wrong? Are you willing to let the Spirit guide you in the right path, the wise path? And if you are, then what are you going to do to seek out God's will? God wants you to know his will. He provides ways for you to know what the next step is. The Spirit will guide us if we submit to him. Imagine what it would be like if we had a church full of people who were truly guided by the Spirit. Imagine what a church would look like and what impact it would have on the city if our people were guided by the Spirit, surrendered our own choices, our own ways, our own will, and sought after the will of God. This is what God wants. He wants it for all of us. Now, you can't have this if you don't surrender your life to Jesus. It's not available to you. Everything I've said today is for believers. And I would also add to that, if you're not daily surrendering your life, then you're going to miss out too. So if you're not a Christian, if you've never taken that step, today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. We want to help you with that step. We're going to be in the back, me and some of the shepherds, and we invite you to come talk to us and pray with us. If you have a hard decision coming up, you don't know which way to go, I've got these three choices, and I don't know which one to take. Seek godly wisdom. Today, we have three elders that are full of godly wisdom. Seek it out, and God will guide you. And get a moving in God's direction. You know what? You're going to feel good about that. Let's stand. Father God, we ask you, Lord, to lead us step by step. And we will promise to follow you. Send your Spirit to guide us, Lord, in all these different ways, and maybe even other ways we didn't discuss today. Block our path when we're going to somewhere, trying to go somewhere that's a closed door. Block it for us and open up other doors. Show us which way to go, Lord. We pray that we don't lean on our own understanding, but we trust in you with all of our hearts. And we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.